Hello and welcome to Reconnect the Chamber. We're glad you're here today. I just want to introduce our wonderful speaker. This is William Ford, and he and his wife serve as reaching out to Zeke's in the Bay Area. And Billy, we just want to welcome you and thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Namaste. Say with me like this. Namaste. I'm just giving it. And I can teach a lot about India today. All those things, yes. Good to see you, Don. And I just want to say a few words about myself. And my wife, Mary, is here. And we both are from South India. And we will see a little bit in a few minutes Indian map. And I thank God for missionaries. You know, I always appreciate missionaries' work. And India is an ancient country, you know that. And how many of you know that very Indian name is mentioned in the Bible? I always said the question to all the Christians, the name India is in the Bible. Oh, you're shaking.
The Book of Esther.
The Book of Esther. I taught him before, you know. And there are two places, chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 8, and verse 4 or 5, you find name India. India is known to the Bible prophets. The ancient historians, India is an ancient country, and a very rich country. Very intelligent and brilliant people came out of India. They saw I am standing here. I'm just kidding. But anyway, India is a country where people, for some reason, their minds are perverted with regards to God. Actually, India is a very good mathematicians came out of India. The very zero concept was developed in India. But when it comes to God and spirituality, they turn to idol worshipping. I don't know how it happened. But nonetheless, missionaries came to India. You know, William Carey is the pioneering missionary, came to India and developed a lot of ministry. And after that, many missionaries came to India. Most of the missionaries came to India from south, because India is covered by Himalaya mountains and the oceans and the Indian Ocean. So missionaries came over in this Indian Ocean or ships, and they started mission work in South India. Hospitals, schools, and the, you know, so many other things they have done, church. So that's the reason in South India we have more Christians than the North India. So my father was an orphan, and the early Mennonite brethren missionaries in the 1900s or so, they came to a South India, central part of South India, a city called Hyderabad, which was a very rich Muslim city. The richest king of the world lived in Hyderabad back then. His name was King Nizam. So my father was living in a small village and lost everybody. And these missionaries by name Jim Pontus picked my dad and, you know, gave him education and made him a pharmacist. He worked in mission hospital a number of years. And so my wife also comes from the same background, but her parents still living, and her grandparents also she has seen, but my side I have never seen those people. But so we thank for the missionaries, and as a result of their mission work, and we are the products of that. We met Bernice a minute ago. She attended the church, and her dad came to India. Her husband's dad, all of him Russia. He, on the back of a horse with 8-9 children, he came walking, a lot of persecution, came to India and then established mission work. So we're so thankful for their work, and as a mission, as a result of their ministry, and we today became missionaries to Asians in America. So my wife, we both were educators, and we taught biology in India and for 5 years in West Africa, Nigeria. And God called us into the ministry. We left our jobs, came to Canada, and went to Canada, studied 1 year Bible college, and came to San Jose, and did my master's of divinity with the Western Baptist Seminary. And I was looking for an opportunity to do ministry, and I've seen hundreds and thousands of Indians at the time, and not South Indians, predominantly North Indians, Punjabis. So I have no clue who these people are, even though I grew up in India, but we never cared for these people. So God opened our apartment in Mission Town, Santa Clara. We were living in that place near St. Thomas Expressway, Lawrence, and El Camino Real. We see a lot of Punjabis. We opened a house for tea and began sharing the gospel. That's how I got into the ministry of Sikh community. So today I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about the Sikh ministry, who Sikhs are, how they are here, and all those things we can study. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time as we see America is filling with so many religions, Hindus, Sikhs, and Muslims, and Buddhists, and Jains, and so many people. Lord, great mission field is here, and I pray that this class may ignite them to see the mission field, and they may take in turn steps to help out these people to find you, Lord. Bless this time, and be with me as I'm talking, Lord, and your spirit may guide me to say right things and encourage things to all of us, and bless us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, this is, as I said, this India, and it's a beautiful map. And as you see up north, I don't have any torch, but I can use all Punjabis. You see the little arrow there. The Sikh Punjabis come from a state called Punjab. Can everybody say with me, Punjab? Panj means five, Ab means rivers. That's it. Before it was divided into Pakistan, it's one India, British India, and a few rivers went to Pakistan, some left. So being a land of rivers, and all Punjabis are really hard-working farmers in the very fertile lands and hard-working people. Punjabis are also a mixed race, and I come from South India. This is my city. Oh, I'm sorry. I come from South India. This is my city, Hyderabad. This is the arrow there? Yeah. We are holding Punjabis. And I mean, but I mean, we are Dravidians. And the history says all the North Indians are mixed race. And there are Punjabi. When Alexander the Great came from Greece and he ended up in Punjab. And people from Caucasus Mountains, we call them Caucasians. People from Persia, we call Aryans. They all invaded India. And so that's the reason all that northern people are very mixed blood. And they are very tall, and their skin is much lighter than mine. Some of them eyes are blue. And they're very powerful, hard-working, strong, brave people. So that's how the Punjabis are from that area. So they are very, very brilliant and the strong, brave people. They're all over the world today. Even if you go to the moon, you will find them there. They'll be doing some Bhangra dance. And they are very good in dancing. But we South Indians are more into education. We want to have bachelor's degree and master's degree and science and maths and the doctors and nurses. We hold our certificates in hand, then we say, which country I need to go make more money? And then we try to find the ways out. That's how I went to West Africa to work, to make more money than India. So South Indians are more into education, and they would have education degrees. They come to different countries to help, and at the same time also make good money. So that's what we have. Now, you might ask me a question, how did these Punjabis have come here, and we talk about the religion and all that. But British ruled India over 200 years. And they have done tremendous things in India. They brought all India together. India was never united. So British took a lot of Punjabis into their colonies. We call them Commonwealth countries. So they took brave and strong working people to Canada to lay railway roads. After the work was done, they asked them to stay back in Canada. And can they stay in Canada, Punjabis, Indian people forever? No. Why? What kind of country is Canada? Very cold. Everything good, yeah, they speak. I studied 1 year in Winnipeg. Everything they put, yeah, at the end. Are you doing okay, yeah? I don't know what they speak there. But it's very, 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 very cold country. So they were there for money. After the work is done, they asked them to leave in Canada. They managed to come to Vancouver, came down to Seattle, down to Oregon, and down to California. They said, this is Punjab. They stayed there. They're just like India. California is just like India. So when they came to Stockton, they stayed. This is it. They never went anywhere. They began doing farming, working laborers, and the first Sikh temple was built in Stockton in 1907. we come into the notes in a few minutes. And that was the beautiful background of the Punjabi. So they came to California, and so they have been living here for over 120 years or so. They're everywhere. So what I would like to see, if you have your notes, anybody need the notes here? Any handouts here? Yeah, please, Mary, can you help these handouts? Yeah. Simran, come on, have a seat. Yeah, I'm so happy. Yeah. Come again, and we have some questions, and people may ask you. Please do come. I want you to share a few things how God is working in your heart. Okay. Now, whatever, let's think about India. As I said, India is an ancient country. India was never being righted. They're all India is. I don't have time to go to Hinduism. You know, Hinduism has the five caste systems, five categories: the priest class, and the warrior class, trader class, labor class, and underneath the untouchable class. So they never were together. They're all segregated. Therefore, lots of the kingdoms, small Hindu kingdoms, over 650 small kingdoms all over India, and never was united. So Muslim traders came to India, slowly subdued Indians, they took over business, and slowly they began ruling over India. We see 1206 in my notes, you can see 1206 between 15 and 26, Muslims settled for the first time in India and became sultans, the rulers of Delhi. You know Taj Mahal? Anybody seen Taj Mahal? How many visited India? Oh, you've been to India. Yeah. Good. What do you think about Taj Mahal? What temple is that?
It's a tomb.
Good. I'm glad you found it. Tomb. Tomb of the Muslim emperor.
And
I know, yeah. People don't know. They thought it's just a mosque or some big temple. No, it's a grave of his beautiful wife who died at a young age. And he spent 20 years to build that grave. Who will bring that? And but he took all the money and so built that. So Muslims came to India, and then they not only took over the political power, they also wanted to change India into Islam country. And Hindus, and if you see in my second paragraph, and the Hindus are polytheistic. I mean, they have 3 million gods and goddesses. How many say with me? 3 million. I'm sorry, 33 million, I'm sorry. 33 million, you're right. You know better than me. And idol worshippers. And so when the Islam came, Islam pretty much into, you know, Christianity, I can say Judaism. So they believe in one God. And so they hated idol worshippers. So they destroyed Hindu temples and then converted them into mosques. That caused a lot of tension between Hindus and Muslims. They began fighting and the bloodshed and riots. So now, as it was going on in this way, and in North India, a man by the name Nanak, and he was born from a nice father was a Hindu and mother was a Muslim, and he began seeing a need to bring bridges between Hindus and Sikhs, I mean the Muslims. So he studied Islam and the Hinduism. He tried to bring a resolution between these two faiths. It never happened. So he began preaching a new teaching. And this was the slogan. If you see, there is neither Hindu nor Muslim. So whose path shall I follow? I shall follow God's path. This was Nanak's slogan. And as he began preaching this teaching, people from Hindu background, people from Islam background began following this new teaching. That's how the Sikhism began in North India. As we can talk about, the Sikh means a follower of God, a disciple of God, a learner from God. That's how the Sikh religion started in India. So if you take the little statistics about the population of Sikhs in India, and the homeland is Punjab, that's where you see most of the Sikhs live in that place, and over 15 million people live. And worldwide, 23 million people. United States, maybe 500,000. California, maybe 200,000 estimation. This many Sikhs live in our place. And as I said, first Sikh temple was built in Stockton. And San Jose, we have a nice Sikh temple. I don't know we can come up that in 3 minutes, but let me show you that. Yeah. This is San Jose Sikh Temple. I've been there. You know, my friend who was my student, I taught him, you know, English and helped him to become a citizen. His name is Akhtar Singh. And from Turlock, he was transferred to Crowther near Fresno. And this was built, and they were looking for a nice, experienced associate priest, and they have hired him here. When he was hired, he called me, "Mr. Kopla, I'm here in San Jose here. Come over." I went there. He introduced the top guys, you know, the board members, the executive and the CEO of the temple. He took me a big tour. The worth is $18 million. Their fellowship hall, you call it Langar House. Everything is automatic. You make every chutney, roti, everything all mission. And 1,000 people can sit at one time and come out. That is what we... So, you see Sikh temples are everywhere. If you go on 99, Freeway 99, you know, toward Fresno, all we call Central Valley from San Francisco to Bakersfield, on the left-hand side, right-hand side, you see Sikh temples are there everywhere. And it's in every state. If you go on Google and say Sikh temple, every state, even in Alaska, they're building a Sikh temple. They are brave people. They open restaurants. And so we have in Turlock, we have three Sikh temples, and then Houston one, Modesto one, Delhi. Recently they bought a church converted into Sikh temple. Recently a Sikh temple called me home. "Mr. Kopla, please," same Akhtar Singh is now back to Turlock. And he called me and he said, "What can I do?" "You know, my friend is in Chicago and he's tired of doing this. He wants to buy an old church and convert it into a Sikh temple. Is it a church for sale?" I said, "I'm not in real estate business." Oh. "I can help you to find some place." So they are converting, you know, these places into a Sikh temple. So you have Manteca one, Tracy one, and the Fresno, several of them there. So that's what a Sikh, you know, people are all over the place. The language is Punjabi language. Some of the Hindi, the English, and also Urdu, they understand very well. The followers of Jesus are relatively few. A few Sikhs have become believers of Jesus. I have baptized some of them. And there are some are stronger secret believers. They're scared of coming out, but they are there. But they're very open to the gospel. They're very open to the gospel. Now, you look into your list there. Those are the ten gurus. Can everyone say with me, "Guru"?
Yes,
yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, let's. These are the 10 gurus we can read about in a few minutes. But let me take to India. Let's go back to India now. This is India. We have 18 to maybe 20 languages. About 20. Official languages, hundreds and thousands of dialects. I speak three languages. My mother tongue is Telugu. I speak Hindi, and I'm still learning English. And we have to learn three languages. So, India is full of languages, full of religions, full of people there. Now, if this is the beautiful thing I want to introduce to you, if you see an Indian person, I don't want to go there. These are the nice greetings, you know. A Hindu a greeting would be Namaste Ji. Ji means respectable, means sir. Say with me, everybody. Namaste Ji. Say it again.
Namaste Ji.
It means you can reach any Indian man if you see on the street. If he's, you know, not born here, if he say Namaste Ji, either Punjabi man or South Indian man or Christian, anybody will stop and talk to you because they really appreciated what you're saying. And then a Sikh greeting would be Sat Sri Akal. Say with me, Sat Sri Akal. We have this in your notes, if, you know, you can learn it later. And I just want you to do that. Sat Sri Akal means there is no end for truth. Truth is endless. God's truth is endless. That's the beautiful way they greet. And the Christians, we greet Jai Masiki. Say with me, Jai Masiki. This is a common thing. You put for everything, either Punjabis or Sikh, we get Jai Masiki. Jai means victory. Masi means Jesus, Messiah. Sajayamasiki Wicked. We don't shake hands with hands because we are really concerned with the flu, any bugs, and also we don't care. All we put and say Namaste Ji. So, that's where we are. Now I want to still quickly give a little bit of this is a population or a billion people, and this is my city. Ethnic groups, Indo-Aryans, as I said, the real Indo-Aryans and the northern people that came from Persia and from Caucasus Mountains, we call them Indo-Aryans. They are the people really developed the Hinduism, Sanskrit, all the caste system, so on and so forth. And then the Dravidians, 27. I come from Dravidian background, that's what my father told me. So we all from Dravidians are the real Indians. They've been living there for centuries. Then we have Mongolites from the Mongol, and the guy, brother pastor was speaking Mongol. A lot of Mongolians came to India and then they became part of India. If you see the eastern part of India connected to the Tibet and all that places, it's all Mongolian people. Now, today India is advancing, as I said, if you go to India, this is the traffic in India. Do you see that? That's the city that I lived in, but not that one. This is all. Everywhere cars. The silicon money is going to India, Hyderabad. This is Hyderabad city. If you go on Santa Clara, San Jose, and 80% of the software engineers, or maybe 70, if not 80, from South India, either Madras, or from Hyderabad, or from Bangalore. What are they doing? They're sending money back in India, and they're buying cars, their uncles and aunts, and then roads are still narrow, and there's a jam. And then this is my city, Hyderabad. I walked on the streets. A lot of fruits. You go there, everywhere, mangoes and all kinds of wonderful. That's auto rickshaws. Auto rickshaws. They're famous. Your auto. A guy would sit there and put 10 people in there. Yeah, you can be at the top if you want. At least 6 he will put there.
Now what's that middle part?
That's the partition there. Which one?
Is it actually the part?
That's, you should not go this way and that way. This is a one way. You come this way, you go this way. Okay. Yeah. It's all, you know, suicidal driving there. You just go face to zip, then you go. Yeah. Yeah. So you went to India. You have seen, right, ma'am? Yeah. You also went to India?
Sorry?
You have been to India at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You have seen it. I'm glad you came back alive.
The middle part,
yeah, this is, you know, this Nizam was the richest king, so he made like at least like British, but nobody's following there, yeah. Hyderabad is a really beautiful big city, yeah. Now this is the gurus that, and this is the temple. As I said, you can turn the page, you can see that in your notes. That is a percentage of 6 there. Page number, do you have that? If not, you can write down someplace.
No.
Okay, yeah. Sorry about it. Okay, that's the religious religions. 82% of Hindus. And then you have 11% Muslims, 3.5% Christians, and then you have 2% Sikhs, Buddhists maybe 1.5%. Yes?
Quick question?
Yes.
I've heard from different people that because, like you mentioned, that some people do not report, this is like the official report of religious following,
yeah,
that there could be a lot higher percentage of Christians.
Christians?
Do you agree or disagree? Officially
there may be higher than that, but the government never wanted to, you know, declare that. Yeah, but in South India, more Christians are than North India. But I would say in the present time, in the last 15-20 years, lots of young people are becoming Christians, right, in India. Lots of young, you know, educated people are coming to know Christ, they're starting churches, they're going to churches, so the number definitely has been increased, but it's all on the basis of the information from India gathered. I would say easily to somewhere 6 to 7% of Christians, maybe there at this point, close to 10. And yeah, that's what we have at this point.
Are the Christians confined to certain castes?
Caste, you know, we're going back to Hinduism. Yeah, well, Christians, when they come to Christianity, you know, we try to not to practice any caste as such. You know, Brahmins and the, you know, warriors and the traders and all that. We say we're all brothers and sisters, so people won't practice that kind of caste at all. And so, even though Sikhs are 2%, they're all over the world, and because they are very enterprising people, they're all over the places. So we will just go to the reaching of Sikhs, and this is the symbol of the Sikh. Yeah. Oh, wow, it's going so fast. Yeah. Now Simran is here, and if he sees that, if you see that symbol, you need to know this is, if you see a bumper sticker like that, or in the front of a house, or anywhere, any Sikh home you go, this is the symbol. What is the symbol for Christians?
Cross.
Why? And it's based on the cross. And because Jesus died on the cross, on the Roman authority, if it is that Jesus happened to be killed by the Jewish law, you should hang a stone here. Because, you know, they kill, you know, by throwing a stone. But Hindus have Om. If you see Hindu sign, I know I don't have that sign, symbol, like a Greek and Omega, Alpha and Omega. So this is like my Omega. At the end, they put a little bit curve that makes Om, and you know, everything in God's power. That's what they say. And so this is called a Khanda. They call it a symbol. The Khanda symbolizes God's universal and the creative power. The center is the double-edged sword standing for the almighty power of the Creator. That's a double-edged. What's the connection we have in the Bible? The Word of God is double-edged. So a lot of connections are there. So they talk about the almighty power of the God. And then the circle is the symbol of the continuity. God is the one who will be continue to do whatever He's supposed to do. And there are two swords along the outside, demonstrating spiritual and political balance in the universe. The two, everything is, you know, with a knife, with a, in a sword. What we say there. Okay. The Sikh religion was founded, if you're on page number 4, by Guru Nanak. G-U-R. You can see in your list there. Guru Nanak. There are ten gurus. The last guru was Guru Gobind Singh. G-U-R Guru. And Gobind, G-O-B-I-N-D S-I-N-G Singh. When Guru Gobind Singh, when he died, I mean, he's about to die, he did not appoint anybody to continue the Sikh religion. He said, and we'll talk about Guru Gobind that later, but I want to give a little bit of a background about Guru Gobind Singh and his father. As in the mid-1600s, and Islam was spreading all over North India, Kashmir is a beautiful place and city, and a wonderful nature there. Lots of Brahmins live there, and so the Islam emperor wanted all the Hindus to become Muslims, so he sent troops to those cities and asking them to become Muslims. And I think it's about 1666, 1675, around that time, the Sikh religion was under the guru of Guru Gobind Singh. And when the Muslim emperor's troops came to him and asking him to order all your people to become Muslims, he said, no, I will never do that. And if I become a Muslim, and they can become Muslims. So then they literally killed him, and he beheaded and taken his head to New Delhi. At that time, his son, you can see in a picture, and I can maybe jump this one here. Yeah, that was the founder. The last is Guru Gobind Singh, And at the time you were 16 or 17, so maybe not even 16, they say 14 or 15 years old. And he was very mad at this Muslim emperor. He said, I should do something else. When he was 18, 19, he called all Sikh young people to come out like a lion. So he gave the name of Singh, we can talk about it in a few minutes, converted them into a stronger military power to stop Islamic authorities, Islamic rule and their atrocities toward Hindus. So that's how the last guru was given so much respect. So last guru was Guru Gobind Singh. But when he was about to die, and he said, we don't need any more gurus to lead this religion, and we need to have this holy book. All this, the teachings of the 10 gurus were compiled into a holy book. You call it, the Sikh holy book is called Guru Granth Sahib. Let me spell it for you. G-U-R Guru. Granth, G-R-A-N-T-H. Sahib, S-A-H-I-B-N. Sahib means a respectful word, like, you know, reverence or mister, like that kind of thing. So this book is also, they call, is the 11th guru. And so they have personified this book. And let me go a little bit, we can talk about it. This is the beautiful Sikh temple in India. They call it Golden Sikh Temple. Amritsar. Anybody then been there? Simran, have been there? I've never been there either. So they are very, this very famous Sikh temple, you know, built in the mid 1600s or so. Now, this is the real Guru Granth Sahib. With the permission, I took picture in the Sikh temple in Trolak, but the priest being my friend, he was my student. I said, can I take a picture? He said, sure. You know, I want to explain to you about why this is so important for them. And this book is considered as a 11th guru, a living master. They have personified this book into a person. And whatever the writings in that book, we have a number of information on that. This book would be speaking to the people, and it is full of poems, full of songs. They would be singing songs and singing different poems by the priest or the granthi. And they will never make this book about the preacher. It should be always about the preacher. Preacher will be beneath the book, and book should be always above. It will never, a preacher will never hold a book like this and then preach the Bible what we do. And it will be put on a podium, he will sit underneath like this, because he is the holy, righteous guru, the book is. So he would be respecting that book. If you go to the Sikh temple, and early in the morning, the priest would be preparing some holy meal, they call it prasad. And then there is a small prayer hall, small room, bedroom. In that bedroom, this book would be sleeping. So it's kind of person. In the evening, the priest would, by 8, 9 o'clock, he would take this book, nicely covered with a silk covering, and put it on the head, take it to the into the room. There's a bed, and he put it on the bed, a nice bed with all silk covering and everything. He put a little blanket on it and check the temperature if it is cold. And you put it in a little, in a 70, if it is hot, put it in a cold, make it 70, make sure this book won't be spoiled. So the guru is sleeping, the book. And early in the morning, after he prepares himself a nice shower and put on clothes, and then he'll cook some holy meal, then he'll go to that room and open the room, wake up the guru, and then he'll bring it, that guru, back to the podium into the temple. And then he'll open it, and then the two guys will be there with a nice peacock fan or feather fan. It will be chased, just fanning. No bugs would ever touch this book. Yes, what question?
I know later in the, you also said that they reject the idea of a divine incarnation. And, you know, we have the idea that the Word becomes flesh in Christianity.
Yeah.
So, this is obviously not the same.
Sure, right.
It takes on a personal, some personality, you know, but yet they still reject the idea of going all the way by saying God can become human flesh.
Yes, they would say God can never become a human being and live among us. God is God. How can he become a man? So that's their theology.
Okay.
But this is a book. It's all the holy teachings of the 10 gurus. They compiled together. They said these are the gurus. They need a mediator between God and the humanity. These 10 gurus are the mediators, the divine holy people. Those words are inspired words from God, so they compiled together. Now their living teacher is the holy book. So then they are personified, so the book would come onto the stage, and you call it a book reader, granthi. You'd be reading book every day, and then people will listen. That's all they do it. But every week, one person would take in charge. Let's say something happened good to Don. Maybe his business flourished and he got $2 million. He would call the group, Sikh temple priest. Hey, Mr. Singh, he said, Ganiji means reverend, whatever it is. And this week, everything is going to be on me, and this whole Sunday, worship would be on me. In the sense, they will serve meals to the people, and so they will hire the two priests to continue the 48 hours reading. So it starts in the Friday, and then goes on a Saturday, and then ends by Sunday 10:30-11. They call akhand par, means without giving any break, they'll be reading two people, 2 hours, while there are papers, and 2 hours to be reading, and you take a break, and they're going to be reading, and they're going to be reading, like that they continue to read, and that's what they'll be doing. That's what the book would be doing there.
So they have each temple has one of these books.
Yeah, each temple.
Okay.
They will never have personal Bibles. I mean, now we have Bibles, maybe King James Version, NIV Version, American Standard Version. No, they would not. There are some holy Bible books there, and not a big complete Guru Granth Sahib, but they lend them into their homes and ask them to take care of it properly. If they don't take care of it properly, like, you know, at 9 o'clock they need to put it to sleep and put temperature and they bring it back. If they don't do it, you're defiling the holy book, so they would never let you do. If you are really assuring them, and so you need to bring it back by the end of the day, and so they wouldn't understand anything. It's all ancient Punjabi. They call it Gurmukh Punjabi. It's not even an ordinary Punjabi man would not understand that. Okay? Okay, every Guru Granth Sahib about 1,430 pages.
Not about, exactly.
You was that?
Exactly.
Yes, yes. 1,430 pages.
No sentences are broken.
Yes.
Huh.
You see, that's the real book. But if you put it in a simple printing, it is very thin, not that big. The letters are so big, they printed so large, so much space, so it makes it look thick. But very few hymnals. Now, altogether, they have 2,218 hymns. They're universal. You go anywhere in the world, you find the same thing. Okay? We will talk a little later, maybe this one a little later, but let's talk about who God is in there. Yeah. You have on the page number 4 that question. Can everybody say with me? Ek Onkar.
Ek Onkar.
That is the meaning, right down there. There is one and only one God. As you're writing, say Ek Onkar.
Ek Onkar.
Ek means one, only one God. Omkar, Om, Omnipotent, Omniscient. See, it's all, you know, lots of things what we have in the Bible, they believe, but they miss the main point. The other one is Satnam. Say with me, Satnam.
Satnam.
Nam means name, true name. I am the way, truth and life, Jesus said. Truth is his name. And Karta Purak means creator. Karta Purak. Say with me. Karta Purak. He is the creator. Who is the creator?
Jesus.
But you say Jesus. You say God. Omkar. You know, Sikhs believe in God. They say very beautiful. Satnam, true name. And then Vaheguru means the best guru, the best teacher. So that's why they don't call Jesus or God. They call it Vaheguru, Satnam. And that's what it is. Okay. Madam, you need some notes for you? You got one? Okay, sure. And then Nirbhay. And he is without fear. God has no fear. We have a doctor in our place. His name is Nirbhay. Dr. Nirbhay. Means fearless doctor. He doesn't afraid of anybody else. Okay. Akal Murth. He is immortal and without form. And that's exactly what we have in the Bible. Then Arjun Saibhang. He is beyond birth and death and is self illuminated. That is their belief about God. And then I wrote down who is a Sikh right there. A Sikh is a man, not an, I'm sorry. A Sikh is a man and a woman who believes in the one immortal being, the 10 gurus, the Guru Granth Sahib, and the word and teaching of all 10 gurus, who does not believe in any other religion. If that is right. If they believe in another religion, they eliminate him. Now Simran is just talking to him. God, yeah. You can do back. I talked to him, Simran, and he became a believer. And I asked him, how are you involved in the church? He said, no, I'm taking care of the children's ministry. I became a believer. I said, how about your dad and mom? They kicked me out. And you're going to share that. I mean, if you say I believe in other religion, they would, you know, see you off from the house. There are persecution there. And so the word Sikh is from the Sanskrit meaning disciple or learner of God. That's what a Sikh is about it. Okay. And on page number 4, who is man? You know, if in India we have a wonderful saying, you know, we have great philosophers came, you know, from Indian Hindu background. A man by name Vivekananda Swami. He was a great philosopher in India of past century. He is known all over USA, England. A very brilliant man. He attended a big conference in New York, you know, in 1935, 1940s or so. It's a conference of all religions. The Christian pastor stood up and said, Bible says we're all sinners, we're all doomed to death, Christ came to save us. When his turn came, he said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know, in Indian philosophy, in Indian religion, we will never call a person a sinner. A person who calls a person a sinner, he's the sinner. How do you know that man is wrong? He doesn't know, he's ignorant. You call him ignorant, he's gone astray, but you never call him a sinner. So same philosophy they believe. Outside influence has brought corruption, ignorance about man's true nature. And man can be released from these attachments and find liberation through God's provision of his word, Shabad, and a spiritual teacher. That's beautiful belief. They believe in the Shabad, means word. When I give some literature to Punjabi friends who are open to the gospel, I would never give complete Bible nor the New Testament. I gave the gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became, Word was with God and became and dwelt among us. The Word, Shabbat, really attracts them. When I pray for these people, every day I pray at my center, and I can show some pictures, I pray, I said, Lord, your word is so powerful. It can touch, it can change water into wine. It can stop the wind and the storms. They really stop in our prayer. Oh, pray more for me. Pray for more for me. I need problems. I have troubles. Please do. So they believe in that way. There's a power in the word of God, and they also believe in the spiritual leader. They believe if the priest is there in the Sikh temple, he's the guru. You understand? How many understand the word guru? Say with me, guru. Do you understand what I mean by? These are all the Indian words coming into English, like a pandit, mantra, guru. All these names are wonderful. But mantra, I don't want any preacher preaching mantra. It's a magic. It's kind of a thing happens, but the pastors are using mantra. It's a kind of mantra. It's all Hindu philosophy. Gu means darkness. Ru means light. Gu, ru. Ru means light. Gu means dark. A person who throws light in the darkness is known as guru. Jesus is the best guru. You know, he said, I am the light of the world. He is the best guru. I told them. He said, Waheguru. I said, Waheguru is the Messiah. I said, Waheguru. Jesus is the best guru. So they believe in guru. So they believe in guru. Then I said, this guru, Manmohan Singh or Attar Singh, may be good guru, but the best guru is Jesus. I show them pictures of Jesus and his ministry, and so they will be tremendously happy to see that. Okay, now, coming to what is the man's hope in Sikhism? Karma. I mean, let me say a few things about the beliefs quickly. Sikhism, as I said, came out of Hinduism perhaps, and then kind of amalgamation of two faiths, Hindu and Islam, a little bit Bible maybe. So in the midst of all that, they have rejected idol worshipping. They rejected multiple gods. They are monotheistic. They do not worship idols. They believe in the word of God, their holy book. They believe their spiritual leader, the Sikh temple priest or the guru. They believe in the word that they hear from their Guru Granth Sahib. But yet they have taken the big doctrine, the philosophy of Hindu teaching, that is karma. Good and bad deeds. What is the hope of Sikh faith is bad karma, good karma. A lot of Sikhs are very nice. Anything happens, they say, whiskey mercy. Whatever God does, he does. They drink a lot, some of them are. They fall sick, their liver is gone and everything. Oh, what can I do, God? Whatever he's doing, he's doing. They put everything God's grace. But I tell them, you put every blame on God. But so, they believe on karma. They also believe in reincarnation. These are the two basic teachings really perverting them. But the one good thing in their faith is different from Hindu. Hindus believe if I'm a millionaire, why am I a millionaire? Because my previous life was very good. I did a lot of good things. God made me very rich. If I don't keep up my good life, then in my next life I become a dog. Zip, ladder goes down to become a dog. Can I be a good dog, Don? I should be a good dog if I do good. At least I will live in White House with Obama. If I'm not, this will be street dog. So still they look in their wife. So, therefore what they believe, and the Hindus believe that no matter what, so 8.4 million times soul has to go the cycles. They never know when your human body would become your, when you are become a human being, it's the best thing that happened to your soul after millions of such cycles. Now you need to be very good. If you're not good enough, and again it goes back. So they never know, they live a hopeless life. But Sikhs are a little different. Is the time up? Okay. Please.
I have a really good friend who is Sikh, and I proposed the question to her, how is it that in your previous life that you could have done enough to merit the good life that you have now?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, if you were just a bird, what could you possibly have done
to
allow you? And she had no answer to that.
Yeah, that's what we argue with them. I say, you never know what you were before. How can you believe? It's only philosophy, never happened. This we don't understand, but this is what we believe. They have no explanation on that. Yeah, it's only theory. In practicality, it doesn't work. I explained to them, little diagram, little picture. Now, I studied biology, my background is biology, so I give him the life and the death and the cycle, and finally they got the point, okay, that it makes sense, but we don't know our forefathers are teaching, that's what we are believing it. But, a little bit, go ahead.
So is that a possible platform then to begin to witness, or is that just a...
Oh, it's good. It's good to witness to them. As I tell them, you know, God created us different. I go back to the creation story. I tell them how God created human beings different from the animals. I said, animals, birds came with the God Shabbat, with the word. But for you, God took time to create us with this mud. And then we're so special. When we die, we go back to soil. But if you know God, you will go to heaven. So I give them differences between the animal kingdom and the human life on this earth. And that helps them to understand. Educated people are understanding that. The half-educated people that come with the blind faith, they still believe on that. But a good part of if they read their own book, most of Punjabi Sikhs, they don't know what I'm teaching now to you. This is the karma in there. Let's read this one. It says, karma is the law of cause and effect. One's present existence is the consequences of his previous life. A good Sikh, Gurmukh, is to live a life of good work and service called seva. Sikhs are very good in serving, seva. Gurdwara, they go and clean, do anything, serve. I saw Simran was serving the food. I said, this guy must be sick and came to church to get some good karma from God. but I'm glad he found Jesus. They don't mind, they go to any place. They come to church. You know, one guy did something wrong. I don't know, whatever, the violation. And the court gave him, you go and do some, you know, community service. The guys came, we want to serve in the church. Rather than on the streets or the parks, I directly go to the church and clean the kitchen and all that. So, seva they build. Karma is not karma is not absolute and can be modified by God's grace. This is the Sikh teaching. They believe in God's grace. A Sikh can never be sure of how much of God's grace or his own good works can depend on for salvation. It's a good Ram Gidmal is a great convert. He lives in England. He published a lot of wonderful books, The Word of Gurus, and I got this from there. What they're saying is, you're according to God's scale, you have done terrible bad things and you're dead. Now your next life, in the 10 days time, your soul would become a pig, but God's grace would come in that way and said, I like this Janet, she's wonderful, I don't want her to become a pig, I want to take her to my kingdom. That's what, but they don't know when it will happen, how it will happen. So that's where we tell, Jesus died to take care of all your karma. He took care of all your karma, all your bad deeds, you nailed it to the cross, and you have everlasting life. That's where we take that point to teach these people. Okay, yeah.
You just said not to mention about sinners and sin, so I...
Yeah, I mean, we're sure. I mean, I'm not saying that. That's what they say. They say it. I mean, they say it. In Indian philosophy, they say, you know, we never call somebody, say, but of course, I don't call them sinners. I say, we're all gone wrong, and we all make mistakes. And I ask those guys, is there any good person in the whole world? He said, yeah, no. In Punjab? No. In Gurdwara? No. In Gurdwara, they fight. They have a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of, you know, issues. But where is the good man? No good man anywhere else. They said, we're all bad people, aren't we? They agree with that. They agree with totally. Yeah, they do. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the next point here. Salvation in Sikhism. And every Sikh individual is responsible for working out his own salvation through meditation and God. This reason... they get up early. I have a lot of Sikh friends. They come to me and what do you do? Oh, I get up at 5 o'clock. I take shower. I do my part. Meditation. They put their book in the room and they have some music and read in there. So they have to meditate. And
every day.
Yeah.
Never changes.
And they never change. They will never change. They read it and come out the same way. When they go to Gurudwara and they're supposed to leave all your worries and all that, they call it a matha tek. Just put your forehead and give. They go like this and come back with the same thing, you know. There's no salvation, no joy, nothing. So, now. These are the things, what we see here. Every Sikh is expected to replace lust, replace with God's grace, anger, greed, undue attachments, and pride. But Sikh friends are so good in making money. They are very hard-working people. In California, they are the richest people, I tell you. In Central Valley, they own thousands of acres of land. In Yuba City, these are saying, you go online and check, he has 5,000 to 7,000 of acres of land. His grandfather came here, and then he married a Mexican lady, he got some land, and then he came very young, and then his father came. Now they are the richest or the largest peach growers in the world. Not only they invest money in South Africa, but Indians are there in Australia. They hire people. There is a Bisakhi. They have a nice festival comes, and they will be. He has two helicopters and take all rose petals and, you know, spill all over the city of Yuba City and all the places. They are hard-working, moneyed people. So where is the undue attachment? No, they said everything is Vaheguru. Whatever God does, He does. They are full of that. So there, you know, if you see a trucking business, 80% of the trucks are in the hands of the Punjabis. All trucks. On the truck, you see the symbol that what I said, the current, that's Vaheguru. God has to protect the trucks on the road. Okay? And then at least 30% to 40% of the liquor stores owned by Sikhs. And then now subways are in the hands of Sikhs. And then agricultural lands, you know, along the freeway of the Fresno. And I've been to one place, what is Selma? Selma, yeah, Selma. One Punjabi man came and he had some troubles and they said, well, I'm staying in this farm, can you drop me? It's already getting late in the night. I dropped and finally I found the place and then I dropped them. Then this guy, maybe 2,000 acre land, he has a small plane, he has a nice furniture store in England, in Buckingham Palace, in that area. He flies all over the place, he lives in very close to Don. Don is still driving his Toyota Corolla. These are the real good, hard-working people. If they come to the Lord, they are tremendous. Their faith, their giving, their doing things are outgoing. They are for the Lord. They're really enterprising people. If they're like Paul was in a very strong in his faith, he was destroying the churches, he would completely want to wipe away the Christian faith. When he turned, became a Christian, and how strongly he preached the gospel. Same way these people. Sadhu Sundar Singh was a great example. You can go and read about him. In our city, Guru Bakht Singh really recently died at the age of 90. He became a Christian. He was studying engineering in England. He became a Christian and he came and started working right in my city. And he planted thousands of churches all over India. A great man of God, and prayed and he preached the gospel with the power and authority. And he made churches like Gurudwara. A man sits sometime, woman other side, leave your slippers outside, shoes, and worship God. So that's kind of people they are. A Sikh hope for salvation, moksha, is the final liberation from karma and enter into God's presence. That's what we see. Now, as we come to this one, you might be wondering, you know, okay, well, where did I go? I need to go back again here, okay. Let's see. This is very important for you. Oh, Simran is gone. Anyway. Well, he's going to a turban and all that. It's great. You see turbans and a beard and all that. What is this all? Confused maybe. The 10th Guru, the Guru Gobind Singh, when he saw the atrocities of Islam emperors upon Indian culture, especially and Sikhs and others, you know, and he wanted to stop that. He wanted to fight with them, in other words. So he asked all the young people from Sikh background to to become a kind of a troop, you know, become a team to work and to fight. So he gave, we need to be very, yeah.
Militia.
Yeah, we need to be very distinctive, he said. We need to look very different. When somebody sees from the crowd, hey, this guy is sick, how can they not? So he introduced Kesha, a long hair, uncut hair. Every man and woman need to leave their hair, you know, without cutting them at all. And then they put a little bun on the top, and they put turban on it. And so you can write down then. And the kanga is a comb. They put a little comb right in the beneath that hair. They put on the knot there. Oh, where is it going? Okay. And the steel bracelet and short sword. They call it kirpani. Kirpan, otherwise. A kacha, knee-length underwear. These are the five cases would make them so distinct in the society. I really true. You know, even if you go any marketplace, anywhere, you see the people with the turban and all that, and then you see you know, people are all over the places. But now, you might ask your question, yes?
Men and women are different, correct, or no?
Well, women would not wear, yeah. This is all man, that man from backside. Yeah, it's hard to recognize woman and a man if they're both, say, long hair, both. If they're walking, you don't know who is the, which is man. Yeah.
So, like all the little children that have the bun?
Yeah.
Them, they're all from a Sikh family?
Sikh family, yeah. When they turn 13 or 14 and they start having beard, and then they will take them to temple, have a special prayer, they dedicate them to the Sikh, they would make him a true, real Sikh, and they put turban and they start growing beard and all that. And so, those are very important symbols for them. These are given by Guru Gobind Singh. We'll talk about the name in a few minutes. But the younger generation, people that are going to schools and the work, and I have a guy, he just came maybe a year ago. When he came, he was coming to our Heaven Center in Livingston, and very young man. He went to a nice English medium school. He speaks good English, relatively very good. He has not, and he was attending college there. He came here, and he had to get an you know, American certificate and all that. He was looking for a job. He speaks good English, and he has beard, and he's a 17, 18 years old boy, young boy, and mother is, and he lost his father, and he has to go to work and to get some money to you know, support. Nobody's giving him a job. I said, why? You know, I have this turban and beard and I speak good English. They said, no, we can't give a job in McDonald's. We can't give a job. And finally became a secure. I said, why don't you take it off, you know? No. My father died and was young. I told my mom, my mom said, you need to be strong, you know, Sikh. And I can't take it. So he became a security man. At least they accepted him. So, but the other young people, they are not worried about the turban, beard. And some people, even though they have come here maybe 5-10 years ago, they became truck drivers. And they took out the turban beard, but they keep the bracelet. When you see the bracelet, you know this guy is from Punjab. Sikh gentleman. Very nice people. I really love them. They are very friendly, very outgoing. If they do anything, you know, for you if they like you. If they don't like you, they're finished.
So are they still strong Sikh when they go and they cut? I mean.
Oh yeah, there are our secular Sikhs now.
Okay.
Yeah, they are not really strong. Yeah, yeah. The America is never. America makes no religion strong. Believe me, it's really true. All the Muslims that came here, they were very poor Muslims. Who cares, you know, if you are living in my country, Islam area, or in Saudi Arabia, if you meet, if you eat a chicken or a goat, if it's not halal cut, you're out. Who cares what I buy? I eat anything else. If I don't want to go five times to mosque and prayer, who cares? I go on a you know, special days. Same thing, Sikhs. Who cares? You know, all work, make more money. Go once in a month, go and give some money and enjoy. Yes?
The ladies will carry a small dagger.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're called up. And we have a number of ladies that come to our center that have daggers, usually about this big. They wear them under their blouses, and you can see the black flash across here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are specially devoted. They wanted to make a special vow before their gurus and God. We will never change our religion. We will dedicate our life for our faith, and this is our symbol. They put a little knife, you know, this little, you know, sword, very small one with a black tape, and they cover their head also with the turban. Okay? That's what that is. So, remember that. And these are the symbols given by the last guru to fight at the time. But now the younger generation says, we don't need to have that. We are fine. You know, who cares? So their young people are really good in their schools and all that. You know, young people are not even worried about going to Gurdwara and all that. They don't understand anything else. They don't know anything else. They all want to become Americans. They all want to become Americans. And the older people are really surprised. The grandparents go, what happened to my grandson? He became American. What do you mean American? Summer comes, he will be in shorts. In India, nobody puts in shorts in summer and think you'll always have long trousers. Girls have become sleeveless. It's all American. So this all confused. That's what it is. So faith is also really becoming very good. I think we go on to this one. And let me jump on to this one. Yeah. How we share the gospel with these people? I think we have gone to that one. Okay, let me, I think I've explained on page number 6. We have a study about Gurdwara, what they do in Gurdwara. And I also talk of the prayer hall, where they keep their book and all that. That's what. And let me talk about the Langar Hall. A Gurdwara is a temple. It's a big church like building. And they have a stage in there. On the stage they put the holy book. The priest would be sitting under that and be reading book on Thursday night and Friday and Sunday. Yes, Friday afternoon, Saturday whole day and night and Sunday by 10 o'clock. But the prayer hall is the one, they have a small hall, that's what they keep the holy book and all that, and that's where they bring the holy book in and out. The Langar Hall is the fellowship hall, where they would cook meal, vegetarian meal, no chicken, no mutton, no beef, no goat, no pork at all. Everything, few lentil soup and all vegetable, nice sweet and like a tortilla bread, and they serve. And in the Langar Hall, the traditionally they sit on the floor and little mats, they eat there. But the, now after coming to USA, they have fight in the good, Sikh temples. The older people said, now we need to have a table and chair we can sit and then... No, younger people are saying, we need a table and chair, we can sit with our tight pants or the jeans on this one. And they said, no, you cannot change our culture. You cannot change religious rule. A fight, so they said, okay, half section tables and the chairs, half you can sit. Several times I went and ate. And sometimes I sat on there, sometimes I went there and ate. That's the way it is. Langar Hall that. Okay, sharing the gospel. I think this is good. As I said, we greet these Punjabis with the word Satsri Akal. Say with me one more time. Satsri Akal. And you know the meaning. It is literally the truth is the timeless one, the God's truth. And the name is also very interesting. The Guru Gobind Singh, he gave this last title. But see, their names are same, like man and woman same. Amarjit Dillon, Amarjit Kaur. At the end you add Singh means lion. Singh means what? Lion. Guru Nanak, Guru Gobind said, we are all lions. Young men, come out. We are lions. We need to fight against Islam. And converting us by sword, by force, and destroying the family. They all came. Hey, put the bracelet, be a brave man. Put the sword, and then get out and go. Fight. And then he told the ladies, you're all princes, let your lion go and fight. So they gave the name Kaur. Say with me, Kaur. Sing. Okay. Amarjit Singh. And Amarjit Kaur. And in between they have the Dillon is a family like in a Jones and whatever it is. When 9/11 happened, in Merced, you know Merced is in between, it's a big university there. Lots of doctors, and they're confused, they call me, Wilson, come over and give us a lecture on this Sikh religion, Sikhism, and Muslim turbans, and the Sikh turbans, and all that. So lots of young doctors and the pastors, they gather, I give maybe 40 minutes to 1 hour talk. One doctor raised, I have a very important question, Wilson, to tell me. I said, what is that? How come from one family came to America, all things, from one family they came here? How come one Jones family can come to America? I said, no, this is a given title. If we see this title, so That's really conflict with immigration also. Immigration, they say, oh, Singh, they say, the problem with the one Singh or same name, say, there may be several Amarjit Singh, hundreds of them, so they get confused, a lot of things. And so, when I talk to them, I tell, my Jesus is also Singh. You see, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, He, Lion of the tribe of Judah. Only thing, Jesus doesn't have a turban. He has a beard and the long hair and then no bracelet. So that is a beautiful way to get connected with these people. Okay, I think we are almost coming to the... I'll leave some time for your questions. And
could we comment that...
yeah, please, please.
Names are asexual. Amarjit can be either male or female. And so you've got to look at the second name to find out whether it's male or female.
Yeah. That's why by saying cower or saying will tell the male or female. If let's say you got some letter says by Amarjit Kaur, is it a man or woman? Nobody knows unless you know the background of the okay. Kaur means you know lady, Singh means you know man. Okay, now with that. Okay, let's go into. The ways that you can... Okay. These are the things. You can... different approaches in communicating the gospel to Sikhs. The felt need approach. And one of the needs what we figured out, of course I know Don Fisher for a long time. About 12, 13 years ago we wanted to do some work in Fresno. And after I moved out from here to Tolak and Central Valley, didn't happen. But my wife Mary and we both did 3 years of research amongst the community. What is their felt need? Number one is ESL. And number two is how to become your citizens. And number three is the counseling, the family. A lot of fights, a lot of drinking, a lot of issues between husband and wife. So with that, we opened a center in 2000 in Tolak. And hundreds of people were helped. You know, in my list, nearly over 5,000 people came in the last 10 years to my office. Nearly 1,000 people, more than 1,000 became your citizens and illiterate people. And God is using that to share the gospel. Okay? And then we also can invite them to, you know, like a friendship approach, like Thanksgiving programs or parties and Christmas outreach. I give every year big Christmas outreach. Hundreds of people would come and we share the gospel. We even teach them how the Christmas carols and the Christmas stories, and they would come along with us to the stage and then sing songs. I'll show you a few minutes. And the dialogue approach is very good. It's like a Simran, anybody else who are educated, you can sit with them and really pinpoint the differences, what they believe, what Bible. So they're very close to the Christian faith. But if you share that truth in a friendly manner, if they understand by the help of the Holy Spirit, they will come to know. And a group approach, sometimes you can invite people to a Jesus video or to talk about you know their faith and allow them to talk. And one of the things, you know, the women are very friendly, very open. My wife and the other lady, Brigitte, she's from Germany. She works in England and so many places now. These ladies, she worked among Muslims. Now we're also seeing a lot of Afghanistan coming to our centers. And now they have decided to open monthly one time a woman tea time. Women tea time. And there's a nice parsonage in Torlag, Lutheran Church pastor. I talked to the pastor. Hey, use it also anytime. Nice place. So we're going to start first women tea time in Torlag. That's a May 2nd week on Friday. Women are very friendly. So you can do that. And the media approach, you know, you can have a little, you know, TV program or, you know, any radio program, any DVDs you can give there. And before that, let me, if you have notes, you can just quickly go to point on chapter, page number 6 and 9, relationship to Christianity. Belief in one Creator God, that's a good way to contact with them. And the rejection of idol worshipping and ritualism is there. And then emphasis upon grace of God, and the, you know, it comes along with the Christian faith. The necessity of a mediator, we talk about Christ. Emphasis, a life of service. They really wanted to serve That is what we have in the Bible. The value of meditation on God's truth. These are the points that will give a connection to talk to the people. And the basic difference, some critical difference is Sikhism rejects the possibility of a divine incarnation. That's the main problem they have. Then Sikhs teaches that people are essentially good. They deny the reality of the sinful human nature. That's a different thing. They also look Jesus as one of the gurus, you know, along with Muhammad or Buddha or any of the 10 gurus. Okay? Now I want to show this is recently we found a place in about 2 years ago now, Livingston Friendship Center. A parsonage, and beautiful chance. We have Livingston, we have Turlock, we have series, and this is all my friends. Do I look like a Sikh? No, my friendship. This guy was a military man. He fought war. That's this man. Okay, he was a fighter. He was a soldier. He fought with the Pakistan and the India war, and he came to America, and he needed help. I helped him. And that guy, the end, he's a believer. He was a priest, the associate priest in Turlock, playing drums and all that. And after serving 10 years, he became very sick and asked for 2 months time off. He said, no, you're fired, gone. And he was crying. I did 10 years of service. This guy, no compassion, no love, I'm sick. And he came running to my office. His name is Gurcharan Singh. What can I do? This is it. I said, Gurcharan, no matter, come over here. I prayed with him. I helped him. He was sick. And I took him to doctors and translated, and he got so well. He said, this is love. He became a Christian. He started coming to my office, cleaned the office, and put all the Bibles. One day he told me, I was reading Bible, you're doing wrong. Take off your shoes and wash your hands. The Holy Bible. He said, Holy Bible? I learned in my office, I take off my shoes when I read Bible. And this guy, of course, that man, his daughter became a believer. His daughter baptized her daughter. Jagjit Singh, Jagjit Kaur. And when he came, he was so happy because one guy married her, dumped her in Turlock, literally crying, coming to my wife, coming to her home every day, and I cried. One day I said, Jagjit Kaur, forget about the old life, it's over. That guy is gone. Do you want to start a new life? He said, yeah, how can I start a new life? I said, believe in Jesus Christ. And she literally cried, and this new joy came. It's a part of the Holy Spirit, and we gave her baptism along with other women. And now our father came, and so he coming to our office, and so he's not a believer, but you know, this guy, his name is, what is his name? Dilbagh Singh. My wife is here to help him. And his two daughters were in deep trouble. Both of them are orange. We helped them, and they became believers. But this guy came much later, and he came to my office, and we went to his home. And I want to close quick, it's almost time. Went to his home, shared him this, long story short. Shared about the gospel for hours and hours. One after that, he said, and he's a nice, educated accountant, senior accountant, worked for the railways in India, retired. And he said, at the end of my presentation of the gospel, he said, Mr. Wilson, I'm very fine. I'm very close to your faith. Nothing is wrong with mine. And I said, okay, we never bothered him. And we've been praying for him 1 year. A year later, he came to my church, I run a church. He appeared in the church. And what can I do? You said, and I came up to the church, he came front, and I said, what can I do? You told me, if I know Christ, if I don't know God, and I'll be, you know, ending up in hell. That's bothering me. So to make this long story short, and he said, what can I do? I said, you want to believe in Jesus? Yes. Then and there I believed, and I prayed for him, and now he's a strong believer. And he goes all the places. I want to show this. These are the ladies in Livingston. What are they holding? They are Punjabi ladies. They all became new citizens. I said, you want to become citizen of heaven? They said, yes. This American passport goes, but you want to go heaven? So we read the Bibles, and they're all so happy. That lady became that lady, but this lady is still struggling. But we have so many such people. This guy, he brought his, he's a very wealthy man. He brought his truck driver to my office to learn English. I said, okay, I'm teaching English to a truck driver. Can you read this Bible? Oh, yeah, I never read Bible. So he began reading. He still goes, yeah. These are all the team of people. These are all great people. And this lady, that lady, I can tell stories of stories. And a great opportunity we have. And I give Christmas outreach. All the Sikhs come to my outreach. I said, praise the Lord, Jesus, I asked them, everybody stand up, pray in the name of Jesus. All the Sardarji Sikhs come to know. And this is the 2000, the recent one, just last year, in a big church in Turlock, and so many such. And we also take sick temple priests. We teach Christmas carols. We do it in Christmas. All the last year, four temple priests, they all came. Their temple people were in my church, about 150 people. And my wife and myself, and this guy is playing tabla. What, you know what we are singing? Joy to the World. In Punjabi alone. Oh, this is Sikh temple priest. His name is Alam Singh. That's what God is doing. You can do here. Now let's close it in 3 minutes. Now, we want to do something in Fremont. I want Fremont people, and I want your cooperation. This is a Gurudwara Street. My wife, we both went to that place. The priesthood, they were all very eager to do that. Now, recently we're helping a lady in Livingston, and she's from Afghanistan, totally illiterate. My wife, we both, 6 months, now she's ready to become a citizen. Her husband is a very big businessman. He is the one who supplies all meat to all our Bay Area. He has a big slaughterhouse in Livingston. And he was so happy. Mr. Wilson, my wife, she's totally illiterate. Now soon she's becoming a citizen. I'm so happy. I'll give a big party. I will invite and introduce all people in Bay Area. You start something there. Lot of opportunities, brothers and sisters, and God is doing amazing things. So Don is here. I'm so happy. He's doing tremendous work in Fresno. I have given a workshop about 4 or 5 years ago. He's fire for the Lord. And we can do in Bay Area. Nothing is happening. We tried to do some years ago. Nothing happened. But now, with the help of you, we want to hire somebody or bring somebody. I will be there to mentor in Fremont. In next few months, we want to open a center which would attract the Afghanis, attract Punjabis, attract anybody to teach the Bible, teach in English, a second language, and also make them to your citizens, so on and so forth. That's what it is. The time up.
Thank you.
Do you all like it?
Yeah.
Let's give a big applause to the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Coming today.
Thank you.
So if you could all fill out this evaluation and hand it to me when you have a chance.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for your good interest, and if you need any questions, all my information is on this small paper that I have given to you. If you need any help at a church or anything else, any questions, you can email me, my website, my telephone number. I'll be more than happy to, in touch with you. Oh, backside answer was that? Helpful resource. Yeah, okay. Well, if you need helpful resources, what I would say, number one, you should give them testimonies of Christian believers and Christian music, and then DVDs of Jesus. Jesus DVDs. Yeah.
The Jesus film.
Jesus film, yeah.
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 You can get it online too.
Yes, yeah. Those things you can give, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But if you put it in their hands, especially South Asian...
So I have those. If you need it, I can contact me. So those are the things in my list. Pardon me? What did I say? List, I would say, give a gospel according to John, and then testimonies of believers, like a Shimron testimony, ask him to write a testimony, and then Jesus DVD, and then much later he can give them New Testament, not the full Bible. Yeah. Whole Bible.
And I asked her, I said, just read John, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And of course, it went on the shelf.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you need help, man, I have a lot of Punjabi gospel of John in my office, and I will send it to you. Okay, you can send email, I can do that. You know, if you give the whole Bible, they would be confused. What's all the stories in the Bible, and they would not understand. Okay? Thank you very much, and if you have any questions, you can ask me later.